going to call this meeting of the Elections, Finance, and Government Operations Committee to order. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to be back here with you guys, and I'm looking forward to a productive session. There's some new procedures in place. I've been given a sheet that I'm just supposed to highlight here at the beginning of the hearing. So if I sound stilted and formal, it is because I am reading from a script, but I will read it. Welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives. We appreciate your interest and participation in the legislative process. To ensure everyone can view, hear, and understand today's proceedings, we ask for your cooperation in maintaining decorum and civility throughout this hearing. For the safety, security, and comfort of all attendees, please note the following guidelines. I, the committee chair, maintain control of these proceedings and establish the following expectations. Signs and placards are not permitted in the hearing room. Verbal outbursts, shouting, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated. Applause or other audible demonstrations are not allowed. For safety reasons, standing or sitting in walkways and aisles or standing or obstructing at your chair is prohibited. If you require any accommodation, please speak with our sergeant staff. They are identified by gold ties. Troopers and house security personnel are present to ensure everyone's safety. Those providing testimony will be given specific time limits, which must be strictly observed. If you receive an entrance ticket, please retain it, as it may be required for re-entry if you leave the hearing room. Failure to comply with these guidelines may result in the removal from the hearing room. Our goal is to conduct these proceedings efficiently while ensuring everyone the opportunity to observe and participate appropriately. Thank you for your cooperation and participation in the legislative process. Okay, with that out of the way, we have the minutes of our April 9th hearing before us. Would anybody like to move approval of the minutes? Vice Chair Lee.
Well, I note a quorum and I move approval of the minutes.
Okay, good job noting a quorum. I forgot to do that. My bad. Co-Vice Chair Lee has moved approval of the minutes from the April 9th, 2025 hearing. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Okay, the minutes are approved. We do have a couple new staff I just wanted to identify here. I don't think we have any new members, but we have a new DFL researcher, Joe Stoughton, wearing the mask there. Did you want to shout anything or? Okay. Co-Chair Quam, I think you do you have a new CLA you wanted to? Okay.
Joseph is our new CLA for our site.
Free health. That's a good name. So I like the name too.
I like the name too, Joseph.
Yes. I do too. That is my son's name also. So you're like one syllable off almost from my son's name. So kudos to you. And then I think we have a new page also, and one returning page. So, yep. Thanks for being back. So,
and Lydia,
our page. So thank you both for being here. We could not do this without you. So, today we will be hearing, from the governor's appointees to the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. This board plays a critical role in protecting the integrity, transparency, and fairness of our elections and public decision-making. Its work ensures that Minnesotans can have confidence in our campaign finance system and in the disclosure of money in politics. As members know, our role today is to review the qualifications of these appointees by giving them an opportunity to share their bio, experiences, and perspective before member discussion. And we have the director of the Campaign Finance Board, Jeff Sigurdsson, here. Who's going to go into a little more detail about the role of the board. So welcome back to the committee. Please identify yourself and then proceed with your remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff Sigurdsson, Executive Director with the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. As the chair mentioned, the board is, four members of the board are before you today for their confirmation.
Is your mic on or just want to make sure it is?
Is that better if I lean into it?
I think yes.
Okay. I believe the board is one of two entities which come before both the House and the Senate for confirmation, in addition to appearing before this committee, it will also go to the full floor for a three-fifths vote to be confirmed. Typically a member serves for a four-year term, although we do have some individuals who are filling vacancies, and so if you look at their appointments, it's not always for a four-year period of time. Just a couple basic facts about the board. No more than three members can represent any particular party, so it's always a bipartisan board. Two members must be former legislators, but they can't be of the same political party. Two members must not have been a public official or held elected partisan office or hold a position in the party higher than precinct delegate for 3 years prior to their appointment to the board. And then we have what are called unlimited members, which basically means that they can hold any of those sort of positions for the 2 years, for the 3 years prior to appointment. A board member after appointment cannot be a lobbyist, officer of a political party, or a candidate for a partisan office. Just talking generally about the role of the board really is the deciding factor, of course, for any investigation that the board conducts. Staff prepares documents and conducts the investigation, but it's the board that decides whether or not all of the allegations were proven. They apply their understanding of the standard of the law. They consider the evidence provided and in many cases direct the board to acquire additional evidence. They hear direct evidence or statements from those who have been brought before the board on a complaint. They provide direction to the general community through advisory opinions. They direct the staff in terms of how to develop the website and other communications that the board produces to provide better disclosure to the public on what the board does. It's a lot of work. Our last board meeting for February meeting, the executive session material was 356 pages long and the regular session was about 60 pages long, and they will have 1 week to read that. So it is a significant undertaking. Luckily, there are people who are interested in politics and who are willing to make that for the rich payment of $55 per diem. But we really appreciate their guidance and for their willingness to serve on the board. Before you today, I'll just do a quick introduction and then I'll get out of the way. We have Chair David Asp. He is seeking a reappointment for a term ending in January of 2030. He is the chair this year. Chairs typically serve for 1 year. It's an appointment, or I should say a selection that's made by the other board members as to who will serve. We have remotely Vice Chair King Banyan, who's a former Republican representative for a term ending in January of 2028. We have Steve Swanson, who's also up for reappointment for a term ending in January of 2028. He's a former district court judge, and he identifies with the DFL party. And then we have Charles Spivak, who was appointed this month for a term ending in January of 2029, and he also identifies with the Republican Party. And if there are no further questions, I will get out of the way.
Thank you, Director Sigurdsson. So if you could, I'm sure you'll be staying around too if any questions come up. So. Members, in your packet, you have bios of the four nominees we'll be considering today. Members of the public, those are posted on the committee website, so you should be able to see those. I'm going to take the nominees in the order of which they were appointed originally, starting with the one furthest back, going to the most recent one. So just so everyone knows, the order is Stephen Swanson, King Banyan, David Asp, and then Charles Spivacek. So. Stephen Swanson, yep, you're looking ready to go. So if you could just identify yourself for the committee and then proceed with your testimony. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, you're here remotely. Got it. So if you could just identify yourself and then proceed with the testimony, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, and members of the Election, Finance, and Government Operations Committee, good afternoon. My name is Stephen Swanson, and I am privileged to be before you this afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for allowing me to appear virtually. My background is that of a lawyer and a judge. My wife and I moved to Minneapolis in 1971, and I joined Minneapolis Legal Aid, which later became Mid-Minnesota legal aid. I worked there for about 18 years and was part of the Legal Services Advocacy Project from its inception in the late 70s. I was a full-time lobbyist at the Capitol for about 10 years. In 1989, I was appointed as a judge at Hennepin County District Court and worked as a judge and a senior judge for about 20 years. During that time, and taking a leave of absence, I had the great good fortune to serve as an international judge on the court of Bosnia and Herzegovina. After I retired from the bench, I worked in USAID rule of law projects in Afghanistan, Lebanon, and Kosovo. More recently, I've worked as a temporary administrative law judge, a half-time housing lawyer with the Volunteer Lawyers Network, and a volunteer lawyer with the Advocates for Human Rights in immigration cases. Presently, I am working on the implementation of a large bankruptcy court trust established to compensate Boy Scouts who have suffered sexual abuse as a result of their scouting activities. I'm part of a team that interviews Boy Scouts that have claims that are called into question for one reason or another. I'm also one of six arbitrators on the Bureau of Mediation Services, Peace Offers, Grievance, Arbitration roster. I have been a DFL-aligned member of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board since July of 2017, and wish to continue in that position. I have great respect for the work that Jeff Sigurdsson and his team do to assist volunteer treasurers, public officials, campaign committees, and lobbyists to comply with reporting and disclosure requirements of the law. The staff's efforts, and also the commitment of the regulated community, guarantee a high degree of transparency in the electoral and lobbying process for the citizens of this state. I also want to thank you and all the members of the legislature for your active support and interest in the activities of the board. It is a privilege for me to have the opportunity to work closely with the other five board members to resolve complaints and to guide the efforts of the agency. Lastly, I want to thank Governor Walz for his expression of continued confidence in me by reappointing me to the board. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I ask for your support. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Judge Swanson. Members, is there any discussion or any questions? All right, well, thank you for your service, Judge Swanson. And I suppose with no discussion, I'll move that the appointment of Stephen Swanson to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be recommended to be confirmed. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Opposed, say nay. Okay. Didn't hear any nays there. So the appointment is confirmed. So congratulations, Judge Swanson. So next we have King Banyan. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Greetings also to Chair Swam and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. My name is King Banyan. I'm honored to be considered for appointment and confirmation to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. I currently serve as the director of the Center for Policy Research and Community Engagement at St. Cloud State University. I'm a longtime member of the Faculty of Economics here at the university. But in my current role, I work at the intersection of applied policy research and the university's broader responsibility to engage and support the communities that we serve. Our center partners with local governments and organizations throughout the region, providing analysis that helps inform public decisions and strengthens the connection between the university and central Minnesota. Earlier in my career, I had the privilege of serving in the Minnesota House of Representatives. During that time, I served alongside Chair Quam, and I deeply valued the bipartisan commitment many of us had to practical problem solving and good governance. That legislative experience provided me with firsthand understanding of how campaign finance laws affect candidates, organizations, and the public's trust in our democratic institutions. My academic work also directly intersects with the mission of the board. Very early in my career, around 1990, I co-authored a peer-reviewed paper published in Economic Inquiry examining campaign spending and electoral outcomes. That research helped me help shape my longstanding interest in transparency, fairness, and the incentives that shape political behavior. Those issues are foundational to the work of this board, and they remain relevant today. What I hope to bring to the board is a combination of legislative experience, analytical expertise, and a strong commitment to integrity in public service. I understand the importance of ensuring that Minnesota's campaign finance system is fair, transparent, and accessible, and I view the board's role as essential to maintaining public confidence across the political spectrum. If confirmed, I intend to carry these responsibilities with impartiality, respect for the statutory framework, and a commitment to serving the people of Minnesota. Thank you again for your time and consideration. I look forward to answering your questions.
Thank you for your testimony, former Representative Banyan. I'm sorry our service in the Minnesota House did not overlap, but look forward to the discussion. Is there any discussion or questions? Co-Chair Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank Mr. Banyan for admitting he was associated with me, and I don't want any of the members to hold that against him. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Thank you.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, King Banyan, I suppose it was wise that you didn't mention that you, we, and I served because you wanted the votes. Mm-hmm. Or neglect. In that case, I vote no. But King Banyan, you were a great colleague, and we came in together and was an asset to our political leadership here and our caucus and the state of Minnesota. So thank you.
Mr. Banyan, any response to that praise?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative McDonald, thank you. I knew you were on the committee. For some reason, I had forgotten to put you in my notes, though. And so I ask your forgiveness and will not blame you if you vote against me.
Any further discussion? Okay, well then with no further discussion, I'll move that the appointment of King Banyan to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be recommended to be confirmed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Okay, once again, no audible nays, so congratulations, King Banyan, you are appointed. You made it through this committee. Okay, third on the list, I have David Asp. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm David Asp. I am seeking reappointment to the board. I was first appointed in 2022. Professionally, I'm an attorney. I'm a partner at Lockhart Grindle now in Minneapolis, where I've practiced for more than 20 years, mostly in the area of healthcare law and litigation. Also, my experience coming up to this board has been as some political involvement as a volunteer, always. Once, as Representative Acom noted to me, as a candidate for Minnetonka City Council in 2009, which was very unsuccessful, but a great learning experience for me. And one thing it did instill in me is an understanding of how hard it is to run for anything in the Aloha community and how all campaigns rely on volunteers heavily, and other people to help them out. And so those were experiences that I brought with me when I was appointed to the board 4 years ago initially. And I have been really honored and privileged to serve on the board and to be part of the institution of the board, which plays a really important role in elections in the state. Part of that role is working with those volunteers and candidates and people who are just trying to figure out what they have to do to comply. And I think the board and its staff especially has done a really tremendous job of making what are sometimes counterintuitive requirements clear and helping people to comply and get information they need. And so I just note that the board is called, you know, the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, because part of the role is with campaign finance, and part of it is disclosure. And so our role in working with candidates, volunteers, lobbyists, others who are trying to figure out how to comply, is partly helping them comply and then partly giving information to the public so that they can determine what people are doing and how money is being spent in campaigns. And so it's really have enjoyed the chance to work on the board over 4 years. As Mr. Sigurdsson mentioned, I served as chair 2 years ago. During that time period, the board was involved in rulemaking, which was its own type of extra work and process that we all learned a lot going through, and I think came out with some rules that are very helpful to the public as they're figuring out how to comply and also bring some clarity in areas where we had a lot of questions. We also worked on a number of enforcement activities in areas where, you know, the balance, I think, from my perspective has always been, like, is you really want to encourage people who are trying to their best to comply and make a mistake to keep trying. And sometimes when there are volunteers, you know, it feels really punitive to work as hard as you can and then get a fine at the end of it when you didn't know. So I think we're trying to take that balance against making sure that we are enforcing the laws that you pass and holding people accountable when those laws are broken. So that's the balance that we've taken with those enforcement activities, and I think generally have been really successful. So I'll stop there, but I should also mention I really do appreciate the staff of the Campaign Finance Board. They do a really tremendous job of being detail-oriented. We get these packets that are hundreds of pages every month and then, like, go through them and think of questions. And so not only do they have to understand that we have, but they have to answer our questions about it, and sometimes the questions don't make as much sense as it seems like to me they should. But but they've been great at being detail-oriented and then being accessible to the public. So I really do want to take a minute to thank the staff for their work on the board as well. And thank you for your consideration.
Yep. Thank you for your testimony. And for the record, I agree with your assessment of the staff of the Campaign Finance Board. They are also very accessible whenever candidates have any random question about permissible expenses or, you know, just question any sort of campaign finance question. So appreciate that. Members, is there any questions for Mr. Asp or any discussion? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, general question for Mr. Sigurdsson, if that's okay. I thought I heard you mention that Mr. Asp is the current chair and Mr. Banyan is the current vice chair. Did I hear that correctly?
Director Sigurdsson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coulter. Yes, sir, you did.
Okay. And I want to obviously state at the outset this, doesn't raise any concerns for me as far as the confirmations go or anything like that. But it did strike me that both the chair and the vice chair identify as members of the same political party. Is that usual? It doesn't raise any concerns for me, but I could see how it might raise some questions for others.
Director Sigurdsson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Colbert, the chair last year, Faris Rashid, it was a DFL member. It does typically rotate, but it's not always the case. The person who would have normally been viewed for vice chair is former Senator Carol Flynn, and she wasn't interested in serving in vice chair because there's sort of this almost expectation that the vice chair will probably be the chair the next year, and she simply wasn't interested in that, and so it turned to Mr. Banyan.
Representative Colder?
Can I speak to Mr.
Sure, Mr. Asp.
Yeah, and I'd like to address that too, because as board members, we're the ones who decide who's going to be chair and vice chair, and we do try to balance them to have one as vice chair and one as chair generally. It just didn't work out this year because of the circumstances Mr. Sigurdsson explained.
Yeah. Any additional discussion or questions? Okay. Seeing none, with no further discussion, I'll move that the appointment of Chair David Asp to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be recommended to be confirmed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Say nay. Okay. Congratulations. You've made it through this committee, Chair Asp. So, and finally, last but not least, we have Charles Spivacek.
We say it's Spivak.
Spivak?
Not at all the way it's spelled.
Okay. My apologies. So, Mr. Spivak.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm humbled to be here today. A little bit about myself. I grew up in Indiana, went to school there, moved to Minnesota 46 years ago to join the Meringer Law Firm. I'm an attorney and have been with the same firm for the entire 46 years. When I started, I was the 26th person on the letterhead. I'm now the first, which only means that I'm the oldest. And we've grown from a single office in Minnesota with 26 lawyers to offices in six states. My practice is litigation. I'm a litigator. My clientele is principally insurance companies. I'd be happy to regale you with stories of the types of cases that we handle, but my wife tells me I tell too many war stories, so I won't. I will disclose that some of the bigger cases we're working on right now involves that great Minnesota corporation, 3M Corporation. We are litigating with them concerning their availability for insurance coverage for their forever chemical exposure. That case is pending in Ramsey County right now. We're one of many insurers that are involved in that case. And I'm also involved litigating against 3M on behalf of one of their many insurers on their exposure for their combat air plug exposure. We're litigating that in state court in Delaware at the moment. I've been involved in politics in Minnesota, but always in the background, mostly on the financial side. I have an interest in politics. I identify with the Republican Party, but I have not always exclusively supported Republican candidates. This is not a position that I lobbied for or applied for. I received a call from Greta Johnson from the governor's office, sort of out of the blue, saying that my name had been recommended to the governor as someone on the other side of the aisle that the governor thought might be a good appointee to this board. Being a skinny little kid from nowhere, Indiana, to have anyone in the governor's office call you was incredibly humbling. But before I jumped out and said yes, I did some research as to what the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board did. And there's the first phrase in the first line of its mission statement that resonated with me. The mission statement says that we are to promote public confidence in state government decision making. And that means a lot. And so it struck me that this was a board that was doing absolutely worthwhile work and something that I would like to devote my energy and talents to. I will tell you that I'm a hard worker. I'm a logical, linear thinker. I'm a great believer that if the legislature sets rules, that everyone is supposed to follow them. And that's what I will attempt to try to do as a member of the board. Finally, and this is somewhat personal, state of Minnesota has been very good to me. It's provided me with opportunities I could never have dreamt of as a kid growing up in Kokomo, Indiana. And I feel as if I haven't always done enough to give back to the people of the state. When this call came from Ms. Johnson asking me to serve on this board, and after I did my research and realized that it was a honorable endeavor, I felt it gave me an opportunity to give something back to the people of the state of Minnesota. So I would very much appreciate your consideration of my candidacy, and if you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spivak. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Spivak? Okay. Well, seeing none, thank you for your service on the board. And with no further discussion, I'll move that the appointment of Charles Spivak to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be recommended to be confirmed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Okay. Congratulations. You've made it through the committee as well. Members, I wasn't sure how long four appointees to the Campaign Finance Board would take of committee time. This is all that was on the agenda. Co-Chair Quam, did you have any remarks prior to next week or anything you would like to inform the committee of?
Not at this time, because I think we're still looking at the bills or getting numbers and that. It's nice that the people can see a quick and efficient committee action, and I thank the chair for the brevity.
Thank you, Co-Chair Quam. I think I accept your thanks, but I would thank the members also for the brevity. Representative McDonald.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, since we have some time, I won't have a soliloquy of words, but I just want to thank the members for volunteering and stepping up to the plate. This is, as you know, very important. And I hope that anybody has watching, if they have watched or are going to watch, the importance of the Campaign Finance Board in keeping us elected officials or candidates on track and within the law is very important. This is my 16th year here in the legislature and almost probably
At least once a week, there's a campaign finance question that our treasurer has that I have, and I've always found them to be very helpful to make sure that no mistakes are made to hurt the integrity of this office that I serve and the district that I serve. So with that said, thank you to the two on the Zoom and to you, gentlemen, and we wish you all the best. And we'll vote next, Mr. Chair, on the House floor. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you, Representative McDonald. I was going to mention that. It is possible this will be one of the earlier items we see on the House floor, and the brevity of the committee discussion, I think, would probably only make that more likely. So stay tuned, but this, I do think this is something we could probably expect to see very soon on the House floor also.
Very good. Thanks, Mr. Chair. It's evident that we do indeed work well together, don't we?
Yes. Thank you. All right. Any other member questions or comments? Well, seeing none, this is a model. We are a model of efficiency on the Elections, Finance, and Government Operations Committee, and this committee is adjourned.